From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We begin today's program with two conversations on government and politics in Illinois. In a bit, we'll talk about the state's big retirement funds and why they've been slow to drop investments in Russia. But first, President Biden spent much of yesterday in northern Illinois. He began by visiting a farm in Kankakee and ended the day raising money for his fellow Democrats in Chicago. In between, he spoke to the 40th annual convention of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
I said early on that I was going to be the most pro-labor union president we've ever had for a simple reason. You allow workers to maintain their dignity. You allow them to hold their heads up high. I mean it. It's a lot more than just what you do in terms of their paychecks and their benefits, but it's about their dignity.
We're joined now by a reporter who's covered the president's visit. Cole Henke is Capitol Bureau reporter for WCIA-TV in Central Illinois. Cole, welcome to the 21st Show.
Brian, thank you for having me. I know I'm a TV reporter, but I think I know to say first time, long time. Isn't that the radio thing?
We appreciate that radio convention. All right. So what was Biden doing in Kankakee?
So for the Kankakee stop, he was rolling out this plan he has to help farmers across the country. A few bullet points really for this plan to just lower costs as planting season really gets underway. And he was pinning the blame on these rising costs that farmers see on Russia and Russia's invasion of Ukraine and how that invasion has really devastated the global agriculture market, particularly has led to rising fertilizer costs, which is the main issue when you talk to farmers around central, northern, southern Illinois, all over the state. That's the thing that is really immediate. That's the thing they notice right away at the start of the season. And as they're planting, it's really, really hitting their wallets.
And we're expecting that there could be, you know, further downstream effects later this year, I guess, in ag, because the Ukrainian farmers ought to be planting this time of year. Instead, many of them are, you know, taking up arms against Russia.
Yeah, that's right. And Ukraine itself is a huge exporter of both wheat and corn. Obviously, those are also some exports from here in Illinois as well. But when you know, farmers aren't able to plant in Ukraine, it leaves those gaps in the market. It really just destabilizes everything and really puts more reliance on farmers like in Illinois to really meet their goals. So Biden in town yesterday trying to ensure that that kind of happens and makes sure that farmers in the state have what they need going forward.
So can you paint a scene for us? I understand this was the O'Connor family farm. What was it like? Often you get protesters and supporters turning out when the president comes to town. Paint the picture for us.
So there were some protesters, but they were out at the Kankakee Fairgrounds, which was where all of the, like, everybody had to park. And then you got bused in to the farm. The farm was a few miles from the fairgrounds. And there was when we drove by about maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours before the president arrived, there were a fair number of protesters, a few dozen protesters out there. But, you know, at the farm, they had such a wide perimeter on this field and everything that nobody got near the farm in that respect. But the farm itself is just, it's a traditional family farm of, you know, that you'd find all across Illinois. This was not a big, you know, factory farm. This was a, you know, a nice home in the middle of a field, a big machine shed in the back where President Biden spoke, a few grain silos there. And the farmland spanned acres and acres. Like, it was huge plots of land and everything. But as far as where he was speaking, this was your traditional Midwestern family farm.
So we were texting yesterday about, you know, presidential visits. I shared my view that I've covered enough of those in my career. They're not a lot of fun because there's a lot of security and often you're under these rules. You mentioned a bus. Talk about that. I understand this was your first time covering a presidential visit. What was that like as a reporter?
It was really cool. I mean, for me, like you said, it's my first time. So the novelty of seeing all of that was still definitely there. Like, this is the first that was, you know, when he was speaking, we were about 20, 25 feet from the president at that point, just as he's speaking. And, you know, that's just something as, you know, a younger reporter, that's just really cool to be in that situation. They gave me a White House press pool badge, which I thought was kind of cool too. That's a cool souvenir of the whole thing. But yeah, the security, especially seeing all of it around the small town setting of Kankakee, especially because we were on the outskirts of Kankakee. We weren't in the middle of, you know, the towns of Bradley or anywhere around that area. There were, like I said, you'd get picked up by the Secret Service and on a charter bus, and they'd bring you 5 miles to this farm in the middle of nowhere. And then when you walk up, you're getting, you know, security is scanning you with metal detectors. We actually had to drop all of our camera equipment off at 8:30 in the morning at where he was speaking and set it all up. And then he didn't actually speak until 1:30. So in between that time, this machine shed in the middle of Northern Illinois was just getting swept constantly by Secret Service, you know, and making sure that everything was safe. You know, a lot different than a visit from Governor Pritzker, I guess.
No, yeah. And I mean, the governor often just travels in one or two SUVs with a few state troopers, not, you know, by helicopter. It's basically a military operation when the president comes to town. Yeah,
absolutely.
Literally. All right. Well, Cole Henke, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you sharing your experience yesterday.
I appreciate you for having me.
Cole Henke is a Capitol Bureau reporter for WCIA-TV in Central Illinois. And we turn now to another story in state government with implications on the other side of the world. Hundreds of thousands of people in Illinois are members of state-run pension systems. Teachers, state employees, and people who work for state universities among them. And full disclosure, that includes me. The station where our show is produced, Illinois Public Media, is part of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, which means I'm a member of the state university retirement system. Like any retirement funds, those pension systems make investments to try to grow their assets, but sometimes those investments can become a source of controversy, and that's what happened after Russia invaded Ukraine. Many American companies and institutional investors have cut ties to Russia, but my next guest says Illinois' pension funds have been slower to come around. Jared Rutecki is an investigative reporter and data coordinator with the Better Government Association. Jared, welcome to the 21st Show.
Morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So what was the rhetoric around Russia earlier this spring from members of the Illinois General Assembly and Governor J.B. Pritzker?
So basically, almost right out of the box, he had a controversial invasion of Ukraine by Russia in February. It took almost about 4 days for the governor to come out and say, kind of put a statement out, we're going to look to get rid of these assets, ask the pension funds to examine them, took a look at everything that everybody had and asked the legislative leaders to kind of take the lead and get to this. They put out a joint statement a couple weeks later saying it was a top priority for them. And the bills went through essentially the legislature, and you more or less have a Republican bill that ended up going nowhere and a Democratic bill that managed to make it through the House Representatives, but it's kind of sitting in committee in the Senate waiting for its next action presently.
Next action, but of course the Senate is not scheduled to come back until much, much later this year because the legislative session wrapped up earlier this year. All right, so what would it actually look like for Illinois to, you know, quote, divest from Russia? What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated. You have, if you know, anybody who reads through the Illinois pension code, their eyes start to glaze over a little bit. But you have different sets of rules for everybody else. And ultimately, each of these boards and things are meant as they're sort of the fiduciary trust for each of these. They take care of these investments, are supposed to bring returns back on it. At the state level, this is guided essentially by the legislature and then put into action by the pension board and the state board of investments. Broad divestment decisions, essentially saying we're going to pull out of all investments in Russia, or previously this has happened in Iran and in countries that are pulling their investments out of Israel and other things. The legislature will put a plan of action in place, say that we're going to divest from these investments, and each of the funds will take the lead kind of telling their managers to get out of these funds. Now, at the local level, you have a few other funds that have managed to get themselves out because they're not kind of tied by this, but the main idea behind it is to keep everybody the same so that one state pension fund isn't going, we got to get out of these investments, and the other one says, you know, we think it's fine, we're going to stay. So just trying to keep everybody on the same page. But as a result, many of the people in the pensions funds have indicated they'd really like guidance from the state on this and are kind of looking for answers that have yet to come.
So how much money are we talking about here? How much of Illinois' total, either money or share, how much of Illinois' investments have these ties to Russia?
So it's funny, you come up with essentially what is an enormous number when you or I think about it based upon what we have sitting in the bank versus the percentage of overall investment, which is really quite small. So you're basically looking at most of these funds are less than 0.1% invested in Russia, Russian assets, companies based in Russia, these kind of things. But it adds up to quite a lot when you kind of pool it all together. The Better Government Association identified $112 million worth of Russian investments and assets in the largest funds at the state and city of Chicago level. The bigger the funds are, the more sort of investments they have in these, particularly the statewide teachers retirement fund has quite a lot of assets and a few others. But yeah, kind of catches up quickly when you get to $110 million.
I love that $110 million is, I mean, that does sound like a lot of money, but a rounding error when you put in the total assets of retirees in Illinois. What you mentioned some of the funds. You said the teachers retirement fund. Do we know what these investments are? Is it oil and gas, or is it fast food restaurants? Do we have a sense of like how fine grained can we get with that information?
So it's interesting when you look at the state funds, they're relatively limited and have a very tight set of rules in the types of funds that they have. So like what the state invests in looks very much what the average person's 401k looks like, where there's essentially these diversified pools of investment that they're kind of buying into. So they're not at the state level owning individual Russian companies. What they own is say like a diversified funds, investments. Yeah, these kind of things. So you basically have these, and it's tricky to sell a lot of these assets. Russian markets were closed a lot, but these funds are also not looking to lose money on investments. So the value of a lot of these dropped considerably following the investment. You're kind of stuck with a lot of it. But at the state level, it's kind of these pooled investment kind of funds. Some of the local funds in Chicago and the IMRF, which actually has divested their holdings. It's the your local pension fund for your municipality, township, all of these sorts of government agencies. They're allowed to own individual stocks. And most of your stuff you're seeing out of Russia is petroleum, natural gas. Those sorts of companies are the largest sort of pieces. So that's what most of them own in terms of these investments.
Could there be a negative effect if this divestment goes through? I mean, will this have what would be the effect here? Would pensioners potentially, the investments not do as well? Or is that, again, it's such a small amount of money.
Yeah, and it's really is just kind of trying to, like anything else, diversify what people are holding. I think that in any of these types of transactions, like a broad sell-off, there's going to be some level of cost to that. Like none of these transactions are free. So just the action in itself of selling is going to be something. From the broad pooled investments, them deciding to sell a chunk of investments off is going to have costs. But you really have to weigh it on the opposite side by the sort of moral imperative of putting these investments into something that has been so broadly criticized by the international community and these sort of things. So it's kind of weighing the return on investment as a cash figure versus weighing the return on investment as a sort of moral duty to these sort of ideas.
Is there, would Russia even notice? Would Putin notice that Illinois had divested? We saw Russia impose sanctions on current and former members of the United Kingdom Parliament. Is that something that Illinois officials need to be worried about?
I don't think the they're losing a whole lot of sleep over the small piece coming out of Illinois and these end of things. But I think probably more on the general character of the investment. It's one of those things that probably I think some of the quotes I was hearing from pension fund managers was that they don't really want to be profiting off of a war, which seems to be a relatively defensible position.
Jared Rutecki is a data coordinator and investigative reporter with the Better Government Association. Jared, thanks so much for being with us to share your reporting here on the 21st Show.
And thanks a lot for having me.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about psychoactive drugs. Humans have been using these drugs for, well, since humans have been around. Now there's an interest in treating depression and other mental health problems. We're going to be talking about that after the break. We're going to hear some people who have firsthand experience with that, as well as some researchers who have been looking at it. You can find links to everything we talk about on our show on our website, including the stories we just mentioned now. That's 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our podcast, and you can find our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR One. Just search for The 21st, The21ST. More to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st Show. Do stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.